Imagine being there. You're in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Crowds of people everywhere because this is one of the great Jewish festivals of the year, the day of Pentecost, meaning literally 50 days. 50 days after the Passover. Imagine being there. You are with your closest friends, that band of disciples who followed Jesus, who witnessed his death, who saw him after he rose from the grave, and who saw him return to the Father on the Feast of Pentecost. I mean on the Feast of Ascension, which we celebrated last week. You remember that before he ascended, Jesus had promised to send another advocate, a comforter, to be with you, to give you the power to proclaim his resurrection. But so far, you've been waiting, and nothing surprising or exciting or eventful has happened. You're all gathered for the Feast of Pentecost because you're all Jewish, and that's what good Jews do. Jerusalem is packed with devout Jews who have come to Jerusalem from all over the ancient world for this festival. It's hot. There are noisy, smelly animals and people everywhere. And so you and your group of friends, the followers of Jesus, decide to get a little peace and quiet, and you go into the house where you're staying. There's a little quiet and coolness there, and you can kind of relax for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden, unexpectedly, there is a violent wind. It must have felt to you like a tornado or an earthquake or both. And tongues of fire came down and rested on the head of each one of you. And you all started speaking in other languages. You rushed out of the house, and a great crowd gathered around you. Amazingly, they heard you speaking in your own language, in their own languages. There is a whole list of those languages in the story as it's told in the book of Acts, which we heard this morning, spoken by people from all over the Middle East. Many of them we don't even recognize the names of anymore, but some are still very familiar to us, like Egypt, Rome, Greece, Arabia. Imagine being there. These devout people who have come for this festival hear you speaking about God's deeds of power. Some of them are awestruck and amazed and wonder how this could be, because you're all uneducated men from a little town called Galilee, and it's unlikely you would have heard or learned these ancient languages. Some of the people sneer and scoff and accuse you of being drunk. But your leader, Peter, says, "How could that be? It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." And Peter quotes, "This is what was spoken through the prophet Joel," in order to show that in these last days, which they understood, you understood, to be the days after Jesus had left, in these last days, God would pour out the Spirit on everyone. And that's exactly what happened. Peter goes on to preach an amazing sermon about Jesus and the meaning of his life and death and resurrection and ascension. And we're told that 3,000 people became believers that day and were baptized. Imagine 3,000 baptized in one day. And that was the beginning of the church. And so we celebrate this day of Pentecost as faithful Jews still do. Because Easter is always connected to the Jewish Passover, although our calendars are not the same anymore. Our Pentecost comes 50 days after Easter, just as the Jewish Pentecost comes 50 days after Passover. And every once in a while, they coincide. It's often called the birthday of the church because on that day, the Spirit forged a great company of disciples, far more than the original 11 or 12 or even 3,000 who went all over the world proclaiming the saving love of God in Jesus Christ. It's because of those people who were baptized that day that we are here today in St. George on Young, because it's been passed on over the centuries. But this day is about more than our history as a Christian church. The promise of Jesus was that the Spirit would be the advocate and the comforter, the presence of God with us always, often unseen, sometimes felt in the dramatic moments of our lives, sometimes experienced as a gentle whisper in our hearts. This coming of the Spirit was not a one-time thing. It was the promise of the ongoing presence of Christ in the life of every Christian. And our readings this morning highlight some of the ways in which that happens, some of the meaning that the giving of the Spirit has for us. The first of the descriptions that we hear of the Spirit are in the Psalm, that wonderful Psalm 104, maybe my favorite in all of the Psalter. The Spirit is a renewing spirit. The Spirit renews the face of the earth. The Spirit that came on the disciples and all those people gathered in Jerusalem on the festival of Pentecost is the same Spirit that moved over the waters in the time of creation. And this is a psalm of creation. You send forth your Spirit, and they are created, and so you renew the face of the earth. What a wonderful message of hope that is for us as we look at the desolation of our earth today. One of the exciting things to me about the Feast of Pentecost is that it reminds us that the Spirit not only renews us, but also the earth, with our cooperation, of course. So there's something also about this day of Pentecost that reminds us that we are part of creation and we have responsibility as stewards of that creation. Second thing that we learn from our readings about the Spirit is that the Spirit leads us into all truth, Jesus says in the Gospel. The Spirit leads us to tell the truth, to discern right from wrong, true fact from false fact. Jesus says in the Gospel that the Spirit will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. Just as Jesus was judged wrongly to be a threat and a sinner, especially to the established religious and political leaders of the time, our modern assumptions can often be wrong about who's in and who's out, who is a sinner, who's righteous, who tells the truth and who doesn't. We can't measure those things by human standards. Christianity is a religion in which all the traditional values of the world are turned upside down. The first shall be last and the last first is a saying that's connected with many of the parables of Jesus. So in this world of ours where people are always making truth claims and telling us false facts, and we have trouble discerning which is which sometimes, it behooves us to remember that God is the only judge, and that we are called to help birth a new world in which truth is reflected in love rather than in hate. In Paul's letter to the Romans, which we didn't read this morning, but one of my favorite passages about the Spirit, he says, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains. We who have the gift of the Spirit," he says, "groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies." So the Spirit also brings a gift of hope as we wait and pray for the redemption of the world. So the Spirit brings renewal, it brings truth, it brings hope. And fourthly and finally, as we wait for that birthing through that hope, the Spirit also gives us the gift of prayer. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, Paul says in today's reading from the Corinthians, or from his letter, Paul's letter to the Corinthians, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. We have no idea truly how to pray for the renewal of the earth, of our human institutions, for relationships between nations and ethnic groups and religions, but we are enjoined to pray anyway, allowing the Spirit to pray through us. So when we come together as a community to pray, we open a door for the Spirit to enter, and out of the windows of our sanctuary here, the prayers go out to the world through the Spirit. We are simply vehicles. There is nothing more powerful than prayer, especially when we come together and make space for the redemptive work of the Spirit. And that's one reason for how important it's been that we've had the many prayer vigils and services over the last few weeks since the terrible attack on Yonge Street, because we believe that healing comes through prayer. And we pray also for the Middle East, for Korea, for so many troubled areas around the world, as well as planet Earth itself. So as we come together this last day of the Easter season, this is the 50th day, the climactic day, we are sent out to share these gifts of the Spirit, the gift of renewal, the gift of truth, the gift of hope, and the gift of prayer. These gifts of the Spirit were not given for the church to keep to itself. The whole purpose of the church is to be the body of Christ in the world, to be the instrument of spreading that Spirit. We cannot keep it for ourselves. Its power is multiplied only when we share it. Imagine being there in the upper room on Easter night when Jesus came and met you and your fellow disciples. Imagine the Spirit coming upon you, firing you up to go out and share the story of Jesus, especially 50 days later in a house where you are all gathered together on the Feast of Pentecost, being fired up again with passion and joy to share the story of Jesus. And I was reading over my sermon last night after I watched the wedding yesterday. I watched it last night, actually, because we recorded it. Most of us weren't able to get up that early. And I thought about Presiding Bishop Curry from the Episcopal Church in the United States, that amazing black preacher who brought a whole different cultural element into the royal family that none of them expected and none of them knew what to do about. You could tell that on their faces. But he talked about fire and passion. Do you remember that? Fire and passion. He said, love is power. There is power in love. So as we in St. George open ourselves to the presence of the Spirit here with us today, let us go out fired with the passion of the Spirit to share the love of Jesus Christ. Amen.